Almost persuaded. Wonders come. Hope you thought about those words. Almost is not good enough. And that day will come at last. Don't be almost persuaded. Be fully persuaded. That's what's the most important thing in your life. It's salvation. It's being saved. Don't be a wonder. That's exactly what it is. Wandering away from where God wants you to be. Be saved. He has a plan for your life. Don't wander away. Wanderers, come home. Come and get in the glory land way. Wanderers, come home. Oh, hasten today. Get in the glory land way. It's glory. It's a blessed way. Glory land. I'm glad I'm in glory land. And I didn't deserve it. I didn't work for it. I wasn't good enough. I could not be justified. But He justified me because I believed. By faith. By grace are you saved. That's the gift of life right there. By grace are you saved through faith. You got to receive Him. You got to believe by faith. And when you do, and you believe with all your heart, you'll get saved. You'll repent. And we're not to be a wonder. There's some that saved, they're wandering away. He didn't save us to wander away. He saved us to be at His feet. You know, the sheep, they get out of the way. They wander out of the way. And the shepherd, the great shepherd, the loving shepherd, sees the need, sees the harm, and corrects them back into the way. And I tell you, that's what we ought to be. We ought to be obedient sheep. Not hard-hearted, not stiff-necked, not wanting to hear. You know how children are. You know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction drives it far from them. And that's exactly what it is. You know, we think we know. A little child just wants to do. They're just going to do what they're going to do. It's in them, all of them, all the children. And mine and yours, every one of them. And I tell you, we need to know that the Lord speaks to us. He deals with us. And He chastises us for our own good. Like He said, He don't want us to be conformed with the world. He loves us. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That we wouldn't be conformed to the world. And I'm glad He chastens me. I need that. You know, I feel His love in that. I know He loves me because He chastises me. He chastens me. He loves me enough to correct me. And that's real love. If you're not correcting your children, that's not love. If you're not dealing with them, even at a young age, not beating them with a whip or a belt, but tapping their hands, let them know what no is. Because it gets worse and worse. They begin to have a bad attitude. They backtalk you. And not only that, they'll start backtalking other grown-ups and all kinds of things. And so, you know, we have to chase them. And that's our love to them. Because we do not want them to grow up being a brat. And I tell you, I believe we've all been brats once before. And I believe all of our children have been brats once before. And it'll continue on because it's in a child. But we that are saved, we've been born of God, and we're not to live as a child. We're not to live foolishly. We ought to live holy and just and upright before God, being a good example for the children. If we do a certain way, react a certain way, our children are going to see that. And they're going to do. That's what they've seen. That's what they know. But we are to live by example. Like once they don't do as I do as I tell you. They don't go too far. But if those our parents are trying to live what they're trying to teach their children, and then it'll get into their children as well. But it's in all of them. And we love them, and you don't want to have to chastise a child. You don't want to have to correct your child like that and spank them when they need spanking. But you know it's for their own good. And you support their need. You love them enough to do that. And like Brother McGee talked about, putting the rod of correction on the seat of knowledge. Give them some understanding. And put them back in the way. And that's what God does to His people. He chastises us. And we need to recognize that rebuke and say, I'm sorry. Humble ourselves. And not be bucking against it and saying, well, you know, grunting and running on and continue on. But we're to be humble. And when we humble ourselves and judge ourselves, then we won't have to be judged by the Lord. And I tell you, that's good. And I'm thankful for that because I want to be a dear child. A dear child obeys the parents and because they know they're telling them right. And that's what we got to do. We that are saved, but don't be a wonder. Don't be one that runs away from where you need to be. Don't be one that wavers. Book of James talked about that. One that wavers, that's the ones that don't receive nothing. We're to be stable, like my brother was praying about. Stable, steadfast, and unmovable. Always abound in the work of the Lord. For if we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know our labor is not in vain. If we live and do what we're supposed to do, we're going to be blessed, and souls are going to be saved. Our labor is not in vain. And that's good. And I'm thankful to know that. And the Scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, we shall reap in due season if we faint not. We're not to be weary in well-doing. If we're doing well and we're trying to please the Lord and we're praying, the Lord's meeting with us, and let's don't be weary about the things around about us. Let's just trust the Lord and believe Him and be glad in Him. And let Him work it all out for our good and for His glory. And He will. Today I just want you all to be saved. I don't want nobody to miss heaven. And you can't hear this enough. I'm not one to come and just preach to one particular person about salvation. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. I'm not trying to say like my brother was talking about too last week and how man does, and you know he's willing to turn away a pot of men if it's only got a handful in it because he wants the big numbers. Basically, that's what he was saying. That's why he made that comment twice. There's just a few in there. I'd rather go down here. But it's sad. But it's most important that souls get saved and it needs to be preached and you need to be reminded when you come. Listen, the Lord's got the best to offer. He's got the best for you. Satan just lies to you. And he's good at that. I thought about that this morning. You know, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And you can observe lying vanities from Satan. Things are just going to be just wonderful. Things are just going to be so well and so good and so forth. And I tell you, that's the devil's good at that. He presents things. He paints a beautiful picture about things. But it's not always that case. And most of the time, it's not. I tell you, when he does it, it's not. And I tell you, you want to let God do these things. You want to follow the Lord in your life and let Him give it. Let Him do it. And you'll be satisfied. Because you will not be satisfied any other way. Because the fact is, you know, I understand people are needy. We all have different needs. But the Lord knows. He knows everything. And He knows everything about us. And just trust the Lord this morning. Come to Him. Be saved. The Lord's been dealing with quite a few of you for a long time. And some of you running from it. You're running for other things. So you're trying to obtain. You're trying to do. And things like the sort. Nothing wrong with preparing. Nothing wrong with working hard and trying to have something to show for. That's good. We ought to. But don't put that before God. And just come before Him and be saved. Because you're miserable. You're blind. You're naked. In other words, you just defeated, and you will not be happy in the Lord. You will not have happiness and contentment in this world. And so you need to be saved. You need to be born again, being a different creature, a new nature. That's what happens when you get born again, being born of a new nature. You're new. You don't desire to do those things that you used to do. Those things, you desire to please the Lord. You want to do what He wants you to do. That's your desire. It makes my heart feel good to see those that are putting out effort when I look out there. And of course, we all got things to work out in our lives, but some are wanting to hear. They want the Word. They're receiving the Word as I see them. And sometimes I look at them more because of the fact I believe the Holy Spirit leads me to. because it's a lot better to see that. I love to see that than the other, because it's good to be able to look on the face of somebody that's wanting to hear the truth and receiving it and saying, give me more, give me more. I need to hear more. And that's encouraging to a preacher when he stands. But that's why I told Jeremiah and others too, don't look on their faces and things of that sort, Ezekiel, because they was a rebellious house. They was a rebellious people. And he told Ezekiel what they were. So they're a rebellious house. And so you just tell them what I give you, and you know, don't diminish and don't back up. Just give them what I tell you. But it ought to be in love, not in flesh. And so, but today I've come to help you, and I really want everyone saved. And I see you struggling. I see people that are struggling. They're not saved, and they're trying to do. And I tell you, my heart goes out to you. You're going through that wrong well. You're still got that same water pot, and you're still drawing from a well that can't satisfy you. And that it come to a well that can. It's free. It's free. The price has already been paid for it. Jesus paid the price for it. And He's there willing and ready to give you a gift of salvation. Gift of eternal life. A gift. And that's the only way that any of us get to heaven, is receiving the gift of eternal life. We can't work for it. We can't obtain it. There's nothing good about any of us. And we just can't drive that home enough. We got to be reminded that all the time, how rotten self is. I know I am. God have mercy. I'll be satisfied when I wake in His likeness. I'm not the man that Paul is and that said that, but I'm going to tell you something. That's when I'll be satisfied. I'm satisfied on the inside with the joy and the peace He gives me, my salvation. But with myself and my flesh, I'm not satisfied with it. And I'll tell you, I will be satisfied one day. I will be satisfied when I wake in His likeness. When I don't have to put up with self again. When I don't have to put up with sin no more. When I don't have to put up with Satan no more. And I tell you, it'll be a perfect state of environment. I'm looking. I'm longing. I'm groaning for that day. My spirit's groaning for that. And we all do. I'm not so ready to get in the ground. And I said earlier that I'd rather the Lord just take me on if I can't live and have His hand on me. That doesn't mean that I don't love my family. It doesn't mean that I want to be here for them. I was just trying to make a statement that that's the most important thing in my life, is God's will for my life. And then when I do His will, things are going to work out better for the family, because I put Him first. Everything falls in order when you do that. But we try to do things contrary to that and out of order, then it all gets confused. It's just like throwing a wrench in a machine. And when the gears are turning and grabbing it, the other gears, and everything's turning, you throw a wrench in the midst of that, it stops all of it. It stops the whole process. And so I want to do it right, the right way. And I want to put God first and let Him work it all out. That's why God has a new order in the family, the husband, the wife, the children. Everything ought to be done. The Bible says, see that a wife reverence her husband, and see that a husband love his wife, and Christ gave his life for the church. And God have mercy on me on that. I got a long ways to go. I'm full of holes. I got a long ways to go. I need to do a better job and be a better husband, a better father. And I tell you, I want to be, but I need to be. And I'm praying the Lord to help me do that, because the fact I'm to be the example for the whole family. And then the wife. And the wife is the weaker vessel, but yet she's the strong one too of the family. And to guide the children and teach them. And that love at home. And it's all needful. And I believe if we do things according to the due order of God, we will see those blessings. You may not see it tomorrow, and you may not see it 2 months down the road, but you will see it down the road. And when you do, you'll know that when you made the right choices, that things fell in place just like God said it would. And it's doing things. There's things that we don't see that the blessings that we don't see when we do the things that God says do, and we do the due order, that we see those blessings. We may not see it right then, but we see it down the road. We see the evidence of it. But it's doing something. And so if we're doing right, don't be weary in it. Stand on it. And love it and follow it, because when you do, you'll be so glad you did. And these kids need that. They need the love at home. They need that. They need to instruction. They need to be corrected, like we said. And when they do, it gives them the know of good and evil. I mean, we got a God-given conscience, but we got to teach them. You know, foolishness is bound there. They're born with it. We were all born with it. So we got to teach them right. They already know the wrong. It's already there. It's going to come out. And that's the flesh there, and we got to deal with it with our children and deal with ourselves. And if we'll do that, we'll be blessed, and they'll be blessed. And then they'll grow up as an upright person, even though they won't be perfect, but they'll know. People take notice. They've been brought up right. All that's worked with me when I was selling produce and Vic's kids and some of the others' kids, all that's, quite a few of you worked with me over the years. And I've always heard that, you know, and a lot of them just thought they all were mine. But they said, you raised them right. And I said, well, the parents did or so forth. But they take note of that. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Let me help you with that. Kind, courteous, and things. And people take note of that. And it was a reflection on me, of my business, of my church, even my Lord, who I serve. But they all respected me enough, too, as well, to be respectful to others. But people take note when a child has been brought up right. And so, you know, kids are kids and so forth. But the people take note in that, and that's where it ought to be. And just like we represent this church, and when we go out and about, and they ought to see the reflection, no doubt, of what this church stands for. And the man of God that's preached to us and taught us, that's fed us. And so the problem is with some, they're not eating what he fed, they ate their own. They ate the junk food. And that's why they're obese with the world. And that's why they look like the world. Because of the fact they ate the wrong things. They didn't eat the nutritional things. They become a spiritual anemic. And they're needy spiritually. But we ought to represent him and be a good representative to the world that Christ is Lord. He's Christ, is the King. And he's the King of our hearts and lives. And he's the Savior of the world. He will save them. He will quicken them. He will make them alive if they'll trust and believe in him. And that's what we ought to do. That our lives are to preach that every day, that Christ is the Son of the living God. He is the Savior, and he will save you. And he's merciful. You can look at me and see he's merciful. Every one of us, people can look at us. And we look at each other, and we can see God's mercy. Because not that we're judging one another, but we know we all need his mercies. And I'm so thankful that with the Lord there's mercies and forgiveness. I know, I think that's what David prayed that time. He said, Lord, with thee there's forgiveness. He said, I'd rather fall in the hands of God than the hands of men. Because with God there's forgiveness. Man is rotten. Man is cruel. Man will do a lot of cruel things. But God is just and holy and merciful. And I'm so glad that I give an account to God for my sins and nobody else. Because he understands me. He understands it all. And he's just. He knows exactly the situations we're in. He knows why we do it. He understands our thought process. He knows everything. And so, that's why you can't bring excuses and you can't come and say, well, this or that, or try to tell God how it is, because he already knows. Well, we're going to get somewhere. We can get somewhere quickly with him if we're just honest and tell him exactly, because he already knows it. Then we don't have to sit there and have to work on that, because that's already done. And then the Lord can deal with us and speak to us. And I tell you, he wants to. But today I want to speak to you, Lord willing, out of Romans 8. And just read the first scripture. Whatever the Lord gives is what I want to speak today. I know the Word of God is profitable and it's precious. It's strong. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I tell you, when somebody prays it, somebody preaches it, when it hits home with me, I feel that slicing going on. I feel that piercing in my soul. And I say, woe is me, Lord. That's me. So, Lord, thank you. I need to do better with this. I need to see this in a better way. And so I'm thankful that we have the Word. And I tell you, it don't always set well. And most time it don't with the flesh. And it does pierce. But if we know it's coming from heaven, we know it's for us. We've got to be honest about that. Because sometimes, I tell you how people deal with sin and how shame, even child of God, it's easier to put it on somebody else. That's how they deal with it. That's why some people do. I know one, and My go ahead and say it. My father, my dad, he had a big heart. He really wanted to help people. But when he would do the things he ought not to do, when he would come in late, when he would come in drunk or doped up, or then spend all the money that he did work for, and things of that sort, he'd come home with shame. And I knew it, but he would blame everybody in the house for everything that's happened and done. And that's what happens. And that's what you'll do. You're always pointing the finger at somebody else. That's why you transfer that guilt and shame over. Just try to lighten it a little bit. But let me tell you, if you'll take that burden and you take that shame to the Lord, you will quickly be more forgiven, because the fact you'll put that energy to that. That's what you take it to and say, Lord, it's me. Even when things go on and you're not totally all of the problem, we'll say, but you can see where you fail in it. You see where you missed it and where you responded wrong, or whatever the case is. This is just what the Lord's given me today. I'm not talking about no certain situation. I don't know your business. I don't want to know your business. I tell you, that's between you and the Lord. But the thing is that guilt, it is heavy. But if you'll take that guilt and take it to the Lord, say, it's me, Lord. It's me. If you'll take it there, then you'll be able to get somewhere with the Lord, because you're honest with the Lord. But don't do that, and that's exactly what happens. You just it's everybody else. And you say you're not that way, but think about it. Think about it. If you had a recorder, somebody had a recorder of all that's went on, you can look back and see how you put it on somebody else. And I don't want to do that. That's how rotten our flesh is, every one of us. Every one of us is in that shoe right there. Our flesh, I'm talking about. I love you all. I'm not throwing stones. I'm trying to help you. I'm just going to preach what God gives me, whether people like it or not. Even if I feel like I'm just by myself, that's okay. But I'm never by myself. Never alone. I have that comforter. I have the Lord to strengthen me. Like one said, he told me he was about gone, but the Lord strengthened me. The Lord strengthened me. I'm glad he does. No way we can have strength without him. But I love him today. The Bible said here in Romans 8:6 says, to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded, life and peace. That's how we're going to have peace. If a family's living spiritually, they're trying to live right, and their mind is spiritually minded, there's going to be peace in our personal lives, in our families, in the church, in our work jobs, everywhere. And it said, because the carnal mind is empty against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Carnal mind, fleshly mind. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you realize today, if you're not saved, you can't please God? You can't please God. No way you can please Him. You need to live morally. You need to do right. But you can't please the Lord. And neither we, if we run after our flesh, we're there to say we can't please Him. But you are not in the flesh, he said here, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, he said here, and we'll read it again, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, to be saved, to be his, is have his Spirit. You're born again by the Spirit of God. It's a spiritual birth. And when you get saved, he gets alive in you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This body of mine is dead because of sin. And your body is dead because of sin. I got a sense of death in this body because of sin, born in sin, shaken with iniquity. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of the righteousness of God, because of the righteousness of Jesus that paid the price, that shed His blood, that took our place, made the way that we could come boldly and be justified in the sight of God Almighty by the blood of His Son. Because He looks on the blood. He don't look on our sins. He looks on the Son. And the Spirit is life. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Now He justified my spirit. Amen. He redeemed me. He resurrected my dead soul. It was sin sick on its way to hell. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, raised me up. He said that as the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He said, here He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the Spirit that's in me, that I've been born of, the Holy Spirit, is going to quicken this old mortal body. This old body houses my soul, and my soul houses my spirit. And I have the Spirit of the living God living inside me. And one day that Spirit's going to quicken this old body that I'm housed in right now. The body of sin is going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed one day. Thank God. The Bible said that the flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and bone will. The body where the Spirit is the life flow of it. That's where we're going to get to heaven with. It cannot be this type of body. It cannot be a man of sin. Body of sin. It cannot. The Bible said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Now, we that are saved, we are debtors to live right. We're in debt to God. We love Him. He loves us. That's a good relationship. But we're not debtors to do the things of the flesh. But we're debtors to do the things of the Spirit of God. He said, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Through the Spirit, that's how we mortify the deeds of the body. We got to listen to the Spirit. We got to obey the Spirit. We got to know the Spirit, the voice, the small still voice, the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. We got to let that deal with us. We got to let it convict us. That's what He said. He said, well, Jesus, I must go away. He told His disciples in John 14, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I come again, there will you be also. He said, but when I do go, He said, if I don't, He can't. But if I do go, the Father will send back the Comforter that will convict the world of sin. It will convict you. It will deal with you. It will guide you through all truth. And that's when we get in trouble. When we're not being guided by the Spirit. We're not listening to Him. The Bible said here, but if we do mortify the deeds of the flesh, then we will be led by the Spirit of God. For as many, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the children of God. We that are saved, that have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, self-same person, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, we have that. We've been born of that. We're a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new to you. That's how you look at yourself. If you want to know you're saved or not, look at this. Understand this. Is the Spirit leading you? Is the Spirit guiding you? Is it really the Spirit? I mean, really examine yourself. And the Bible said here, we are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry and Abba Father. We cry Abba Father. When you say, that's who you cry to. That's who you resort to. That's who you call on. That's who you're praying to. I mean, you're really trusting in Him and believing in Him because you received the spirit of adoption. He adopted me. I wasn't worthy to be saved. I was a heathen, a Gentile, a no good, sinful. But He adopted me. He chose me. See, I was chosen. And so were you. If you're saved, chosen, He adopted you. So that's the one I want right there. He got nothing when He got me. I got the good part. And so He chose me. He's chosen all to be saved, really. He died for the whole world, but all will not receive Him. Receive Him. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again of fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption. When you get saved, you got to receive it, believe it. And the Bible said when you do, you'll cry, Abba Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I know I'm a child. For one, He whips me. For another, He speaks to me. He deals with me. The Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm His. The Bible said we know we pass from death unto life because He gives us love for the brethren. He gives us the love, and we love the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We love the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. He said here, and if children, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. He said, we're joint heirs, heirs of God. And He said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. God made man a free will person. God gave man a choice to live for Him, to obey Him, and not to partake of the forbidden fruit, the God's law. And the Bible said man failed. Man failed to sin. But God gives us a choice. He's not going to make us live for Him. He's not going to make us do right. He's not going to make you get saved. It's a thing that you must desire above life itself. And you got to come. You got to get hungry enough. You got to get thirsty enough. Before you ever leave that water pot behind, you're going to have to come to that point. It's going to be a breaking point in your life. And you can continue on. You can be stubborn. You can continue on. And I'm not being hard on you. I'm just trying to say I understand what people go through different things and people have different needs. But I tell you, don't waste your life. Don't waste the time. Let God work things out in your life and for the good and everything in your life and those type of things. But the Lord gives us, we make choices. And we have to give account for those choices. The Bible said, let a man know whatever he sows it, that's what he's going to reap. If we reap sparingly, we talked about we're going to bountifully, you know, we're going to reap sparingly. You know, if you go forth and you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we're going to reap bountifully. So we must sow, we must make good choices and follow the things of God. And when we do, then we're going to be blessed. And people are going to realize that. And a lot of times when those that don't make those right choices, then at times they're happy for those that make good choices, but they're again being in the flesh and Satan working on the mind, he will disturb you about it. And that's the way he'll try to do all of us, every one of us. That's exactly the way he works. And that's the way our flesh is. And so that's the way it happens. And that's why a child of God, it's out of the will of God. That's why they pick and that's why they say and do the things that they do. A lot of times is because of dealing with that. And they see God blessing and using some. So we all we'll be glad and rejoice together, but we got to get in place. We got to get on rejoicing grounds, and we got to get where we need to be, where God can bless us like that. And then when you rejoice, you'll rejoice with others as well. And when they weep, you'll weep as well. But the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The bondage of corruption. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our body. We're groaning. We get tired. These bodies have pain. These bodies hurt. We have disappointments. We have things of this life, and we groan. Our spirit's groaning. Not only that, because of sin. Sin in the members. That's what Paul talked about, the warfare going on in his members. It's a daily thing. And I tell you, that's what he talked about. He said, with my mind, I serve the law of God, but my flesh, the law of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I mean, we get tired of dealing with the flesh and what's in the flesh. But one day, that's all going to be over. One day, our change is going to come. The spirit that's in us is going to quicken our mortal bodies, and we're not going to have to deal with that anymore. But while we're here, we're to keep ourselves clean. We're to subject ourselves, submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. And I thought about that. You know, we don't live to ourselves. We're to follow Him. Not what we want, but what He wants. And so when we do that, we're blessed. And all that is a joyous way. So just like a husband and a wife, when they love each other and they're trying to give themselves to one another, and they have that relationship, everything goes well with them because of the fact they want to please each other, they want to do right, and so when you do it, things work out for the good. Not that you don't have problems. Everyone has problems. It's not a married couple alive that don't have disagreements. You're gonna have disagreements. We do. And but yet, you know, love compels you to come back, and love compels you to be honest and to confess it or commit when we're wrong and say, "I'm gonna do better. I'm sorry. Forgive me." And that's how we continue on, and that's how we get closer together in love. And the same way with the Lord. And so the Bible said here that's we're groaning, we're travailing to get out of this old body because of what's in it. And we're looking for the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but a hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man says, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? We got to have patience, and we got to wait impatiently for the Lord, the coming of the Lord. We know He's coming. We know He's coming back for the church. But are you living that way? That's what I say. Are you living that way? Are you trusting the Lord? And me and Courtney was talking about that. If you're not, if you're double minded, you're wavering. You're not looking for the coming of the Lord, really. You're living to yourself and you're walking and doing what you want to do. But the Bible said we're to be looking for His coming. We're to be looking and patiently waiting for His coming. And when you're doing that, what are you going to do? You're going to do His will. Just like those that had the different talents, you know, He gave one talent, one, two, or so forth, five, and then the one that had, you know, five gained 10 or so forth. But there was one that was given, and he said, "Well, Lord," he went and hid it in the earth. The other ones, they went and doubled that, the talents that God gave them. They were working and waiting for that husband to come because they knew he was going to come and receive usury or extra from what he gave them. Well, they knew he was coming. They believed it. So they didn't do it so much as by fear, but they loved him, no doubt, too. And when we love the Lord, that's what we do. But they did these things. But there was one that said, "Well, I knew you as a hard man. You was the one that is very stern, no doubt." He said, "So I was afraid. I went and hid it. So I didn't do anything with it." He wasn't looking for the husband to come. Or he would have done something with it because he knew what was required of him. But he didn't do it. And that's why he wasn't just. But those that did something what God gave them, God give us all a measure of faith. He's gave us all that we that are saved, and we must get out there, and we must gain. We must help. The more we learn, the more we can help somebody else. The Lord will give us that. We may help others, and the Bible talked about that as well. So we've got to live right, walk right, talk right, and do something with this. But I said all that to say, we're looking for this coming. We're looking for His coming. But we have that hope. We know He's coming. And we wait with patience. We wait for it. Other things that He's promised us by faith, we with patience wait for it. Because God promised it, He's going to bring it to pass. God, that's what He said. If we're faithful, God's faithful. And so we're waiting for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. Boy, I tell you, that is so true. I tell you, I'm so glad that I have the Spirit that helps me to pray, because I don't know how to pray. I tell the Lord, "I don't know how to pray. God, have mercy. I come to You, Lord. I'm not even worthy to talk to You. I'm ashamed to talk to You, Lord. I ask You to help me. God, have mercy on me. Forgive me." And the Spirit begins to cry out, and He begins to mediate, begin to say what my heart's trying to say. I can't put it into words, but I'm so thankful that we have that Spirit that prays. He said here that our spirit also helpeth our infirmity, if we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself making intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank God we have the Spirit of the living God in us. And we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit will intercede our prayers and our groanings that we groan with, our burdens that we're heavy down and loaded down with. Thank God the Spirit knows and He understands us. The Lord does, and He helps us and strengthens us. Thank God. And I tell you, when we take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it there, I tell you, when we get in trouble, we're not taking it to the Lord. We don't leave it there at the Lord's feet, and we don't trust Him and believe in Him, and then we get ourselves in trouble. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what's in the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, and we do know, that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them that who's called according to His purpose. All things work together for our good that love God, and they were called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. He talked about being conformed here to the image of His Son. I believe that's the message today. We're to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. That's what we ought to be and all we ought to live right. And He said here that, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? For who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. It's He that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, and who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. He died, but He didn't stay dead. He didn't stay down in the grave, the Bible said, but He has risen again. He that's why He's God. That's why He's the Son. He is God's Son. He proved who He was. All the Scriptures fulfilled that was concerning Him. He paid the price. He lived that. He was the man of the miracles. He was the man of all of the love and concern. He was God's Son. God reincarnated into a human body. And He was risen again. It was proven. They lied about it and said the disciples came and stole His body at night. They lied because of the fact the way this would grow, how that Jesus was the Christ. The one they crucified and hung on the tree was actually the Christ. He is at the right hand of God who maketh intercessions for us. Isn't it wonderful we have an intercessor? We have someone that knows our case, knows us and everything about us. And so we have Jesus on that mercy seat, on the right hand of the Father. And we can come to Him boldly. Not so much boldly with prideful ways, but coming knowing that we can receive what we ask. We know there's mercy there. We know there's help there. We know that He's there to help us in our times, of all times. And I'm so thankful I have an intercessor. And I come to Him and ask Him to have mercy. And He intercedes that unto the Father. He making intercessions for us. And who shall separate us from this love, from the love of Christ, for Him interceding for us, for helping us and having mercy upon us? Who's gonna do that? Who can separate us from this? His love is inseparable. He's gonna love us no matter what. We're His. We're His child. We can't lose what He's given us. We're saved. We belong to Him. We're His child. He's gonna whip us. He's gonna chasten us. And if we don't bear fruit, He'll take it away. I thought about that, just like my brother talking about in his prayer about the pinky. You know, if you have a pinky that's infected, and after a while, if it don't heal, if it don't do it, it's causing pain to the body. They cut it off. And then all that energy goes to the other four because it's not feeding this one. And we must do the will of God. We must live right. We must be fruitful. That the body will have to do the things it needs to do, that the Lord wouldn't have to take it away. You go to heaven all right, but you'll lose. You'll lose out. But the Bible said you'll lose your rewards if you don't live right. The Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Our intercessor. Our mediator. There's nothing can separate us. He loves us unconditionally. I'm so glad He does. I know I'm not worthy to be loved times I come to Him. I'm never worthy to be loved, but there's times where you really know you're not worthy to be loved. But He loves us anyway. He still hears us. His ears open to the cry of His people. I'm righteous because He's righteous. But I must confess my sin to Him that I'm able to get forgiveness for it. He said, shall tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril or sword. None of this can separate us from His love. Whether you realize it or not, if you're not saved, you're a servant of sin, a servant of Satan. That's basically what it says. And that He don't have love for you. He don't have love for you. But if you trust Christ, the love of Christ, nothing can separate you from that. A loving Savior, a loving Lord. And it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. We've conquered. It's our faith. Our victory, isn't it our faith? Yes, it's our faith. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, just believing on the things He's promised us. We're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death. Isn't it wonderful to be persuaded about something? There's some things we know. There's some things that we get burdened about, heavy about, we pray about, and we take it to the Lord and we leave it. He persuades us. The Spirit that made us know what He's going to do. It's good to be persuaded. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How wonderful this is. How many times have we read over this? And we know it's true. But do you really think about it? Really think about His love? We're just skimming the surface right now. But just knowing the love that He has for us. Like the song says, may thy tender love bind me closer and closer to thee. I love Him because He first loved me. I didn't know how to love until I learned how to love by how He loved me. He's long-suffering. He's forgiving. Love is kind. Love is not easy to provoke. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor, but is kind. Every time I read that chapter, the love chapter, I have to cry out, woe is me. I come up short. All these years, I have to cry out, woe is me. I never will be perfected like I need. I never will be perfected. But I can grow and I can have more love. But I must desire it and put out the effort. And that's what I want. But I know and I desire that because of how He loves me. And I tell you, I got a long ways to go. And I believe that if we examine ourselves and look at these things, we can see that we need to make improvement. I love you all today. I want you to bow your head with me. I thank the Lord what He gave us today. I enjoy the Word no matter who preaches it. No matter who prays, I want to hear from heaven. We need it. We get tired. We get weary. We're human. We live in this old sinful world and a sinful body. And we need to hear from heaven. We need to hear His voice. We need to be encouraged. We need to feel His presence. And that's what we ought to feel when we come here. We need to feel God's presence strongly. Not just for us, but mostly for the sinner. The altar is always open. And the altar calls here today. If you want to come to the altar, the altar is open. Saved, unsaved. Not saved this morning. You could get saved this morning. If you're really willing to give it all up and you're really seeking God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, you'll get saved just a prayer away. I'm sure there's things in your life that the Holy Spirit brought to light as we were preaching today. And you can come and you can cry wherever you're at and cry about these things to God. Say, Lord, it's me. It's me, Lord. And that's how we get help. He does forgive us if we're honest. Altar's open, anybody can come, feel free. All right, I'm going to ask Sister Marie to close us in prayer, if she will, please.